if I didn't come.
We are starting on the we are on the sixth or seventh line over here. We're at the it's about the eighth line actually. It says Shalosh Tanios. No, I think we're fine. I don't think we need it.
I disagree. I think we probably need it. Already.
So the Mishnah says here. Now, if you recall, we had this in the previous Gemara. We actually had this in Rosh Hashanah as well. That in the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim served, and they were broken up into different groups. They were broken up into what was called Mishmaros, which is that every week. We had a different mishmar, a different group of. Every week we had a different group of kohanim that served in the mikdash, and there were 24 total mishmaros groups, weekly groups, and of those weekly groups, they were broken up into batei av, okay, a base av, and a base av served every single day. Each day was a base av, right? So you had seven batei avos for each week. What?
Six. They all did it on Shabbos.
It's a machlokas rishonim as to whether there were six groups and then they all did it on Shabbos, or whether there were seven groups and what and there was a separate group on Shabbos. So what?
Even if they all come together on Shabbos, doesn't somebody have to run the show?
I mean, what? Well, you had six batei avos, according to that opinion. So you had six batei avos, and then they all came together on Shabbos.
No, but that's what, right? I'm saying, that you bring them all together on Shabbos, that's right. Great. But right. then you have a board of trustees. You still need a chairman.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Wait a minute.
I'm not sure.
The base of, in other words, there was a different one for each day?
Was it a base of
for the week?
No, there's a mishmar for the week.
All right, mishmar, yeah.
There's a mishmar for the week, and each mishmar was broken up into six or seven batei av.
Okay, and they were the base of one family?
No, I don't think it went to... The families of Kohanim weren't families like we have it nowadays. I don't think it worked that way. I think it was just... you probably had a group of family of Kohanim.
They were not Kohanim?
No.
They were all Kohanim.
They were all Kohanim.
Okay, they weren't Kohanim.
They were all Kohanim, exactly.
No, but I mean...
There were some cats thrown in there. Yeah. At any rate, so you had batei av, and you had mishmaros. And as we'll see, there was also a third quasi-group that were ma'amados, that we'll discuss later in the Masechta, Chavdalad, Chavav, something like that, about the Anshei Ma'amid, which we'll discuss very briefly here. But at any rate, the Mishnah goes on to say, Shalosh Tanios HaRishonos. In the first three fasts, remember we had three sets of fasts, three, three, and seven. So in the first group, of fasts, Anshei Mishmar Misanim Velo Mashlimin. The Anshei Mishmar, the people of the group, the people of the week, meaning the families of Kohanim that were not serving on that day, so let's say the first day was Monday, anybody who was a Kohen that was delegated for that week, but was not delegated for that day, so they weren't a base av, they were just in the Mishmar for the week, and the Mishmaros would help out when it was necessary, they would help out the batei avos, but it wasn't very common. So they would help out during the day if it was needed. So the Anshei Mishmar Misanim Velo Mashlimin. The Anshei Mishmar would fast, but they wouldn't complete the fast. Why wouldn't they complete the fast? They wouldn't complete the fast because they might have been necessary for part of the Yavoda. So they had to be, they had to have some koach in order to be able to do the Yavoda. Anshei Beis Av Lo Yam Misanim Klal. But the Anshei Beis Av, who had to do all the Karbanos, had to do all the Yavoda for that day, for that Monday, so they wouldn't fast at all. But Shalosh Shniyos, but the second set of fasts, which was slightly more serious than the first set, so they upped it up, they upped the ante a little bit, and Anshei Mishmar Misanu Mashlimen, the Anshei Mishmar would complete the fast, but the Anshei Beis Av, who had previously in the previous set not done anything, they're going to Misanu Velo Mashlimen. They're going to fast, but not complete the fast. In the Sheva Achronos, which was more serious, so then we had Elim Elim Isanu Mashlimin. Then everybody fasted and they completed the fast. It was extra difficult for the people who were working on that day because they had to complete the fast. They had to fast, complete the fast, and they had to do the Avodah. But nevertheless, that's what they had to do. Divrei Rabbi Yehoshua, that's what Rabbi Yehoshua says. However, Chacham were a lot more makil. Chacham said no. Shalosh Tanias Harishonos, when it came to the first three fasts, the first set of three, Eilav Eilav Lohim is in Kalal. So nobody fasted at all. Even if you were in the Mishmar and you weren't doing the Avodah that day, you nevertheless did not have to fast. Why? Because you didn't have to fast because the assumption was you were going to be needed at some point for the help of the Kohanim who were working on that day, and therefore they didn't want you to fast at all. But Shalosh Shniyos, where it was a little bit more serious, Anshei Mishmar Misanim V'lo Mashlimin, the Anshei Mishmar would fast, but they would not complete their fast. The Anshei Beisav Lohi Misanim Klal. And the Anshei Beisav would not fast at all. In the Sheva Achronos, in the final set of seven, Anshei Mishmar Misanu Mashlimin, the Anshei Mishmar would fast and they would complete the fast, and Anshei Beisav Misanu Velo Mashlimin, the Anshei Beisav would fast and they would not complete the fast. So, to summarize, there are three possibilities for these Anshei Beisav and the Mishmaros. There are three possibilities as to what they do. Either they don't fast at all, or they fast but don't complete the fast, or they fast and complete the fast. Those are the three options. The Shalosh Rishonos, the first three fasts, the first set of three fasts, which were very makel, not as serious. So then, we say typically that the Anshei Beisav definitely don't have to fast. That's according to everybody. And it's machlokas whether the Anshei Mishmar have to fast at all. But when it comes to the second ones, then on some level somebody's going to have to fast. Whether you fast and complete it or fast and then don't complete it is going to be a machlokas. But the middle ones already you start fasting, and then the last ones then it's machlokas as to whether you have to complete the fast or don't have to complete the fast, whether you're a mishmar or a base av. But the point is, there are three possibilities. You can either not fast at all or fast and not complete it, or you can fast and complete it, and depending on where you stand, whether you are the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua or the Chachamim, will dictate whether or not you have to participate in the fast. Now that we're talking about the Anshei Mishmar, Anshei Beisav, v'chulei, the Mishnah goes on a slight tangent, and it discusses drinking wine. Anshei Mishmar mutarim lishtos balelos. So we say the Anshei Mishmar, who again are the people who are not serving on that day, they're allowed to drink wine at night, avalo b'yamim, but they're not allowed to do it during the day. Why are they not allowed to do it during the day? Because the day is the Iker Avoda. That's when all this stuff is happening, right? The Korbanot Tzibur and everything. So that's when the action is really happening at night, when everything is completed already. So we have much less Avoda to do. If for example, a piece of meat that was placed on the Korban earlier in that day had fallen off the Mizbeach or was falling off the Mizbeach and it was necessary to put it right back on the Mizbeach, so then they were necessary, the Kohanim were necessary to put it back. But that wasn't a very common occurrence, and so the Batei Av of that day would be sufficient for putting that stuff back on the Mizbeach. You wouldn't really need the Anshei Mishmar. One second. But the Anshei Mishmar were very helpful during the day when the action was happening and there was a lot of korbanos happening. So occasionally we did need the Anshei Mishmar. So we say they're not allowed to be shikr because a kohen is not allowed to be shikr in his avoda. Is the avoda possible even b'diyeved? I don't know. I don't know that. But I think it is. But you're not allowed to be shikr. So therefore we needed all hands on deck. So therefore during the day, we did not allow them to drink wine. Only at night, the Anshei Mishmar were allowed to. Did you ask a question? One second, he had a question. Sorry.
My question about the Kohanim here, are they waiting to be a replacement Kohen, like the Kohen Gadol?
The DK.
Yeah.
The dedicated Kohen. Or
is it an additional Kohen, like you were saying, to assist with the physical avoda, which would make me wonder, is there a limit of the amount of Kohanim that should be in this? Or we're saying that...
I don't think that there's a limit. I think any of the Anshei Mishmar can participate. I don't know if they drew lots as to who gets to do what.
Like they're not pre-designated? Like is there like a bullpen where they're sitting? Like,
I don't know, right, yeah, and they were just catching the foul balls and just shooting.
Like someone's like waiting to like do just, a Truman Sedation, it's like, oh,
right,
good
yeah,
lefty.
Like, right, right, exactly. Yeah. And they were like, you know, call to the bullpen.
Got to make sure the phone works.
I don't know.
If you're not, you get a cramp when you're doing Truman Sedation, it's really embarrassing.
Yeah.
Super embarrassing.
That can be.
But that's a real question, though. So do we know if they're sitting and wait, or if their mom is doing this
I don't know, and I don't know how many of them were necessary at any given time. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I guess it depended on the day. I mean, the days in which there were tons of Korbanos Tzibur, then all hands on deck, and anybody can come in at any given time. I don't know. I don't know when they called in the lefty, called in the righty, bullpen cart. I don't know. These are all shilas. Shilas are discussed by the postman.
Did you have a question? Just wondering when you said that about not drinking yayin, does it mean specifically yayin or other alcoholic drinks too, like hard drink, whatever? Yeah. I don't know what they mean.
Hard lemonade, right? Hard lemonade.
Budweiser is also
Budweiser. Yeah, there's a discussion about Bud Light and Budweiser, and yeah, this is all. These are all in the Chronin. I don't know. I would assume
Bud Light
anything
is actually
that could be
mushaker.
I would say anything that could be mushaker. Wine was common. Wine was more common back then. I don't think that beer was as common.
Cologne is much more.
David.
But I could be wrong.
That's not true.
What?
There's a Makhloka is how civilization was formed. Was it because of beer or because of bread? It's in the archaeological record. It's like a real thing.
Uh-huh.
So there's beer.
Yeah. Flip side. Yeah. When of any particular Pesach eat together, you know, and a Muslim, a minion, you know, for benching, okay, what, you know, how do they do it if they have to have wine to bench, or don't they have to have wine to bench in that case?
Does anybody want to handle this question? I'm going to throw this out to the clock.
Yes.
What?
Yes is the answer.
Yes, what?
The answer is Kevin Grape Juice. Okay, we go on.
Yeah, I mean nowadays, but I mean back then.
But so back then. Want to answer this question?
I would just say that they were not duty when they had to.
Yeah.
Anyway, Anshe Mishmar Mutarim Lishtos Yayin Balelos Avalo Biyamim. So again, the Anshe Mishmar are not allowed to drink during the day, but they are permitted at night. Anshe Beis Av Lo Biyam Vel Balelos. Anshe Beis Av are not allowed to do it at night even, because they were necessary in case there was avoda to be done, and they, you know, that was their duty. So they couldn't do it at night. They couldn't drink wine at night. Anshe Mishmar v'Anshe Ma'amad Asurin Milasaper u'Milachabis. The Anshe Mishmar and the Anshe Ma'amad, which we'll discuss in a quick second, are usur to get a haircut and to wash during the entire week. U'bachamishi mutar mipnei kvod Shabbos. But on Thursday they're allowed to because of kavod Shabbos. Now what are the Anshe Ma'amad? So we know it says in the Torah, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael v'amartalahem es korbanei lachmili Yishai. Tzavis b'nei Yisrael, the b'nei Yisrael had to be were mitzvah on the korban tamid. So how can it be that you have kohanim in the mikdash that are bringing their korbanos, and b'nei Yisrael are at home and they're sipping pina coladas on their lazy boys? How can that be? So rather we had representation, right? No sacrificiation without representation. I think that was it.
Johnny Cochran.
So, the glove don't fit. So we had representation from Klal Yisrael.
The phone was off the hook.
The Kohanim had their own representation, and the Levim had their own representation, and the Yisrael had their own representation. And they sent, Klal Yisrael sent representation to the area of the Mikdash, to the Makom HaMikdash, and they would daven to Hashem that their karbanos should be accepted while the Kohanim were serving in the Mikdash and bringing the karbanos. Those were Anshe Maimed, right? Those were called people who were serving as the representation for Klal Yisrael in general, right? So Klal Yisrael in general sent representation to the Makom HaMikdash. They were davening while everybody else in the Mikdash, the Kohanim and the Mikdash, were actually serving. Those are the ma'amados, and we'll discuss more about ma'amados in the fourth parak, I want to say. third parent.
And how'd you get picked for that?
Oh, it is. It's the fourth parent. What?
How'd you get picked for the mamad?
I don't know. I don't know if...
because he couldn't take that many people.
That's not in the mission. That's not discussed. It's not discussed who was picked. I want to say... I don't think that Rashi discusses it either. He doesn't discuss it here. I would say since they were necessary to daven for the korban of their brethren, I would think that they picked the head honchos, the top cheeses. The numero unos.
And they had a lottery. Like, they had lotteries for the Mishmaref of the Kohanim.
Yeah.
They had a lottery.
I don't know. I don't know if you want a Joe Schmo going down to the Mikdash and davening for your Korban. I don't know if you want,
As opposed to a mum that could still do some aspect of the Avodah.
The what? A who?
These are Kohanim?
There were Kohanim that were doing it, and there were Levim that were doing it, and there were Yisraelim that were doing it. They were all representing Klal Yisrael. They were all a bunch of them. How many and how they selected them, I don't know.
For the Kohanim, I would think that it would be logical that if they had a mom that would prevent them from doing the physical avoda on the Mizbeah, maybe they would be able to do this, but it doesn't work for everybody else.
Right.
David?
Yes.
Somebody said, was it you who said they drew lots as to which
that was
Mishmar that particular week? Okay. My understanding was that the way they tracked was that through the generations.
Oh, I'm going to get a history.
Through the generations, the Mishmar was a particular Mishmar was always the same week.
Okay, very good. Kol HaKasav HaMegillah's Tainis. I don't know these things.
Could be.
I don't know.
I'm not sure what you mean by the same week. I mean, I think it was in rotation. But I don't know what you mean by the same week, because that gives you...
The same week. So-and-so's Mishmar... It was the same week every year.
Well, it wouldn't be. It can't be.
There's only 24. There's only 24 mishmaros, so you had to. It evolved. I mean,
and the leap years.
What? Yeah. I mean, I can't even do the math.
All right. Well, 24 mishmaros.
We don't need to.
53 weeks. So it. You know,
no, it doesn't work out.
It went around twice.
No,
right?
It went around twice a year. Sometimes three times a year. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All righty then. We go on.
Dutch.
The Mishnah goes on to discuss other inyanim, and it says Kol HaKasav HaMegillah's Tainis. What is the Megillah's Tainis? Boy, we've had this a number of times. We had this earlier in Tainis. We had this also in Maseches Rosh Hashanah.
Days when you're not allowed to fast.
Very good. These are days in which you are not allowed to fast, because these were Yom Tovim that were kavua by the chachamim of the times. Nowadays, we only have Chanukah and Purim that are left over from those. But there were a number of nisim and nifloos that happened over the course of time, and they wrote down in this Megillah that this day a certain thing happened, and as a result, it's going to be celebrated as a yomtiv, not as a yomtiv d'araisa, but it's going to be celebrated with a yomtiv with certain halachic ramifications. One of which being that you're not allowed to fast in that days. Those were called Megillah's Tainis. It was called Megillah's Tainis because it was written down in a Megillah, and for those Megillah's Tainis, those Yomim Tovim that were kavua in the Megillah, you're not allowed to fast during them. Mm-hmm. Some of them that were extra chamor, because they were extra special, I guess because of the extra nisim, the greatness of the nes that happened, you weren't not only allowed to fast, but you weren't even allowed to give a hesped on that day. So says the Mishnah. Any time it says in a particular yomtiv that were written in the Megillah's Tainis that you're not allowed to give a eulogy, lefanav asur la'achrav mutter, the Tanakhama says you're not even allowed to give the eulogy the day before, the erev of that yomtiv. You can't do it. But la'achrav mutter, but after that you can, meaning after the yomtiv you can. The reason why the Tanakhama says that lefanav is asur also is because it's a gzeira atu. if we allow you to give a hesped beforehand, you might take the, if you take the Erev lightly, you might take the Yom Tov itself lightly enough that you'd be making a eulogy on that day also. So the Asr, the Tanakama also Asr'd the day before. But the day after the Yom Tov, where it's already passed, it wasn't as necessary. Lefi the Tanakama. But Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lefanav u La'achrav Asr. Both are Asr, Lefanav and La'achrav are Asr because Atu, the actual day. Deloli Hisana, wherever it says in Megillas Tainis that you're not allowed to fast, which is every Yom Tov that was kavua in the Megillas Tainis, Lefanav L'Achrav Mutter, the Tanakama is extra mekel, and he says you're not allowed to fast on that day, but you are allowed to fast the day before, and you are allowed to fast the day after, where Rabbi Yossi comes along and is a little bit more makar and says, Lefanav Aser, L'Achrav Mutter. Before, the day before, the Erev is going to be Aser to fast, but the day afterwards is going to be Mutter. Yeah? Fabulous.
When this thing about what Lefanav, which is before, do we mean like the entire day or like for Mincha? Like for example, like on Erev, the Yom Tov, we say Tachanun in the morning typically, but not by
Mincha. L'chor is the whole day. L'chor is the whole day. I don't know. No, could be. Anyway, says the Mishnah, Ain Gozrin Titus al Tzibur Batfila Bachamishi. We're not allowed to be Kovea, a Titus on the Tzibur on Thursday. Why? Shalo Lahafkia Sha'arim. Because you don't want to blow up the rates. Lahafkia means to blow it up. But basically, you don't want to ruin the price index because you start making a fast on Thursday, all of a sudden people on Thursday, they're buying crazy amounts of food. You know how it is when you're fasting, then you buy extra food. So then all of a sudden you're buying all this crazy amount of food and then the storekeepers are like, what's going on? Is there some kind of famine coming along? And then all of a sudden the price index goes crazy and then so we don't want to do that. So as a result, we only allow the fast to begin on Monday. And we'll see, there's going to be very soon, there's going to be a machlokas about what about the second set of fasts. Do we allow that to continue to be on Thursday? So we have the first set of fasts, which is Monday, Thursday, Monday. So what about the next set? Is it Thursday, Monday, Thursday? Or do we have to wait until the following Monday?
David.
You got 30 seconds.
As I see, there should be a distinction between when we're living in our land, we have the Beis HaMikdash, okay, that if there's a fast announced, they're all Jewish. They know, you know, the shopkeepers are Jewish. Okay, when you're in Chutz Lartz, then that becomes understanding. Okay, when the Jews all of a sudden on Mass on Thursday go and buy up all kinds of food, then the Goyim.
We're not talking. We're talking about Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about Eretz Yisrael. These fasts are to Eretz Yisrael.
Right. What I don't understand is why Jewish shopkeepers would think, there's some good happening, there's famine, there's that, I'm going to boost up my prices.
Yeah, why not?
Because they should know that the reason they're buying up on Thursday is because they went to a fast, because
they don't know about the fast. They don't know about the fast.
Well, if they do know about it, they can raise the prices.
Yeah. What?
How do they not know?
Why? Are they Amei Haaretz?
No, David, they could. They want to make money. They know there's a fast.
We're not talking about people who are doing it. They're not doing it because they want to be malicious. They're doing it because they think there is reason to raise the prices, meaning there is some kind of... there's some kind of force that's going to impact the economy, in which case we're going to have to... They're not doing it to be malicious. If at any time a Makolet wants to raise its prices, it can do so. But then, of course, you're going to have to deal with competition. But here, we're talking about a global issue here. If all the shopkeepers think by starting a fast on Thursday, it's going to lead them to believe that there's going to be a famine or whatever, then it's an issue.
Yeah, but I mean...
You're saying modern day Google. You said they should Google it.
No, they're all Jewish. They're supposed to know.
Jews? Not all Jews know.
It's been announced all over the place.
Okay, not all Jews know. Not all Jews know.
It's like before, like.
Let me tell you something. Not all Jews know. Okay. Says the Mishnah.
All right. There are secular, there were, I guess, even then, what you would call secular Jews. But...
What do you call secular?
Wouldn't you say that the majority of shopkeepers would have been... How can you have a kosher store when
right, that's a good question. How can you have a good hechsher on a store when some guy doesn't know what you're
yeah. Yeah.
Are you saying you're not shopping on the Buffalo list? If I see you at Best Market, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to call you out.
I don't shop at Best.
Okay, there you go. That's why. Because they don't know about the Sharim. They don't know about...
No, that's not why.
Stop speaking with slander.
Here we go. Here we go. Ella, says the Mishnah. Okay, that was exciting. Ella, Shalosh Tanios HaRishonos. The first three fasts... This is very good Torah. Elo shalosh tanios harishonos, sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, v'shalosh nios, and the second set of fasts, chamishi, sheni v'chamishi, according to the Tanakhama. The first set is Monday, Thursday, Monday. The second is Thursday, Monday, Thursday. So we just continue, according to the Tanakhama, we continue. What?
Isn't that a spirit of what we just said, that you can't start a series on the Thursday?
So the Tanakhama is not concerned about starting on Thursday because we've already gone through a set of three fasts, so the storekeepers would then know, they would then be attuned to the fact that there are fasts going on and it's not because of some economic slowdown.
It doesn't really look like a new set of fasts. It's just like
it's continuation. It's continuation.
I'm saying it doesn't look like an economic.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know the mitzvahs.
Okay.
I don't know the mitzvahs.
But if we're talking about Jewish shopkeepers and it's announced throughout towns.
You're not buying it.
I can't see how you could construe that something else is going on. I can boost my prices because of some economic factor.
I'm putting you in charge of doing the investigation here. You're going to research this for our next year on Monday. You're going to research. So you think I'm joking? You're going to research this online. You go online, Google it, and see what they say about this Gemara. Do it. There's going to be somebody who comments about what the Metzias was. Obviously, there was some kind of Metzias. I don't know what it is. I hear what you're saying. I don't know why people didn't know. Why people are they stupid? Are they that dense that they didn't know? They didn't know what was going on. I don't know. I don't know the answer, Moshe. You have to research this. There's probably somebody who discusses the history of this. I don't know. I don't know the answer. It's a fair point. I don't know the answer. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yossi says no. Kishem she'ena rishonos b'chamishi, kach lo shnios v'lo achronos. So Rabbi Yossi says no. We're going to be gozer in the second set and the third set, just like we did on the first set. Why does Rabbi Yossi say this? I don't know why. It could be because of two possibilities. Either because we're just doing it as a gzera atu, meaning we want people to know that you're not supposed to start a fast on Thursday. Therefore, the first set must be on Monday. It must start on Monday. Now, the second set, maybe we're not concerned that the storekeepers are going to make a mistake, but still, because we don't want to start a set of fasts on Thursday, and if we do the second set and we start it on Thursday, people are going to think that the first set can also be started on Thursday, so therefore, we make every set of fasts start on Monday. Perhaps that's the reason, or perhaps it is because the storekeepers are still going to make a mistake on the second set. How? I don't know. Why? I don't know. I'm already telling you. Yes.
With the fast is back to back.
What?
With the first set, the second set, the third set, there's no break in between.
Right. According to the Tanakhama, you would have no break. You'd have a Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday. So you just keep on going, right? So you really would only have 2 days to establish that our fasts haven't been working, and therefore we have to continue fasting. Mm-hmm. So it would be like, we would need an immediate response.
Or you're committed to doing the entire set regardless?
No, you're not committed to that. Meaning if you see rain after the first set, then you stop. But you would only have, according to the Tanakhama, you only have about 2 days to assess that, you know?
Wouldn't necessarily be after, even if you have see rain during the first set, you still carry through the first set.
Right? Yeah, right.
So you have to fill through the set, but you don't have to finish through the entire...
Right. I would think you have to finish the set. Okay. Fine. The Mishnah continues. Ain gozer tainus al tzibur barashi chadashim mechanical bapurim. We're not going to be gozer a tainus on the tzibur on Rosh Chodesh chanukah bapurim. However, so therefore, if our first set falls out on Monday and it is a chanukah or Rosh Chodesh or Purim, we are not going to observe that fast. Ve'im hischilu, but however, if we started the set already and the second fast of the first set is a Rosh Chodesh, so then in Ischilu in Mafsikin. We're not going to stop, meaning we're going to fast, even if that day is a Rosh Chodesh Chanukah Purim. Divir Rabban Gamliel, and Abba Rameir adds to that, he qualifies that, and says, Afo Pisha Amar Rabban Gamliel in Mafsikin, even though Rabban Gamliel says that we're going to fast, if the second or third fast of the set falls out on Rosh Chodesh Chanukah Purim, Modeh Rabban Gamliel would be Modeh She'ein Mashlimin. We're not going to be Mashlim the fast, meaning we will stop at, let's say, Chatzos, something like that. We're not going to finish the whole way. And the Chayin Tisha B'Av. And so the Tisha B'Av Shechal Yosef Erev Shabbos. Nowadays we can't have that because we have a set calendar. It can't be that Tisha B'Av falls out on Erev Shabbos. But if Tisha B'Av were to fall out on Erev Shabbos, according to this, we would not be mashlim. Now, nowadays, Asara B'Teves can fall out on Erev Shabbos, and the halacha is not like this. The halacha is that we're mashlim. We go all the way through. So
that's the only one, though, right?
Yeah, I think it's the only one, because Atinus Esther, we would be doch, we'd actually be, we would be pushed up to Thursday. Pushed up to Thursday. So we never have any other fast, to my knowledge. Shivas B'Thomas can't be, Tisha B'Av can't be.
It's the only one.
It's the only one. Question is, what do you do about Tainus Chalom? What do you do about Tainus Chalom? Anyway, that would be interesting. Tainus Chalom. Okay.
Tainus what?
Tainus Chalom.
Tainus what?
Were you dreaming when I said it? Tainus Chalom.
Chalom means what?
Tainus Chalom.
Tainus Chalom.
Oh, okay.
Ashkenazi, Chalom. I meant Ashkenazi.
You said Cholom, like the city. Cholom, like...
Oh. Well, they have to fast too. says the Gemara. Seder Taniyos Ketzad, Motzien Es Hateva V'chulei. So the Mishnah said, if you go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, it said, what is the order of the Taniyos? We bring out the Teva, meaning we bring out the Aron, says the Gemara V'afilu B'kamaisa. We're ever going to bring in the Aron in the first set of fasts? Because it sounds like it. It sounds like the Mishnah is addressing all the fasts. Or Aminu, but I have a contradiction. Why? Because the Mishnah says Shalosh Taniyos Rishonos Ushniyos Nichnasan Beis Haknesses. In the first two sets of fasts, we go into the shul, umispalin, and we daven in the shul. Kederach shemispalin kol hashana kula, just like we do in every other part of the year. Ubeshev Achronos, but only in the last seven, Motzien Es Hateva. Then we take the teva out to the rechova, Shalir Venosin Efra Gabaya Teva. We put the ashes on the teva, Barosh Anasi, Barosh Avbezdin. We put it on the head of the nasi, the head of the bezdin. And everybody else puts ashes on their foreheads. So we see that it seems to be only the last set that we take out the teva from the chovah shel ir. And Rabbi Nassan Omer, Efra Maklehein Mevin. Rabbi Nassan adds that it's not just Efra that we use, it's not just dirt, but it's Efra Mikle, it's actually burnt dirt, which means ashes. Amar of Papa, so Rabbi Papa answers, don't get fooled. The Mishnah is really only talking about the last seven. And indeed, this entire Mishnah is only talking about the last set, which is seven Taniyos. Everything that we're doing in this Mishnah is only referring to the last seven.
David.
Yes.
The last set, the last seven, okay, are we talking the continuation of Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday?
Yes.
Yes. Or consecutive days? No?
What do you mean consecutive days?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
No. It's all Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Yeah.
You might die.
Yeah, at some point you're gonna die, and then you won't have to worry about rain. So I guess there's
why we don't have two Yom Kippurs in Gullis.
What? Base. Okay. So. Okay, Uber Rosh Hanasi, says the Mishnah. If you go back to the Mishnah, it says that we put the Efer Mikla on the Rosh Hanasi. Says the Gemara, V'hadr Tani kol echa v'echa notu v'notu v'notu v'rosho. It says first you put it on the heads of the Nasi, and then, and only then, only after you did that, you put it on your own heads. Says Gemara, Aini, say it ain't so. Joe, Vehatanya, but it says in the Braisa, Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe says, Bigdula, when it comes to matters of Gedula, of greatness, of kavod, of happiness, Maschilim in a Gadol, we start with the Gadol for the matters of greatness, for positive things. Ubekilkala, and that matters that are bad for negative things, for Puranios, Maschilim in a Katan. Then we start from the Katan. Big dula maschilim and a gadol. How do we know that we start with the gadol when it comes to good things? Shenemar, as it says, Vayomer Moshe el Aaron. Moshe said to Aaron, Ula Elazar, and then he said to Elazar, and then Uli Samar, and then he said to Uli Samar. So there's a hierarchy. Ubikilkala maschilim and a katam. But when it comes to matters that are negative, then we start with the katan first. The Amar Mar, Betchila Niskal El Nachash, when the Eitz Hadas, sin of the Eitz Hadas happened, first the Nachash was cursed, Va'achakach Niskal El Chava, then Chava was cursed, Va'achakach Niskal El Adam, and then Adam Marishon was cursed. So, how can it be over here, we're starting in a matter which is clearly bad, this is a negative thing, right? We're fasting over here, and we're doing all of these things to really subjugate ourselves and make us look bad and down, and make us feel bad. We're starting with the gadol first. According to the principle that we had of Rebbe, it should be the opposite way. We should be starting with the katan first. We should be starting with the regular am. So the Gemara says, "Ha, this is something that Reb Landau had mentioned before. Ha chashivus l'didhu. This is actually a chashuvus that we're giving to the elders, to the Rosh Av Bezdin, and to the Nasi. We're giving them a chashivus of putting it on their heads first. What is that chashivus? The Amri Lahu, because they say to them, as they place the Afer Mikleh, they're saying, essentially saying to them, Asun chashivus limi boyalan rachmi akul yalma. You are, this is a, you guys are a chashiva people in that, through you, you are saving the people. You are saving us, and you are requesting rachmin from Hashem for the entire nation. So it's a matter of chashivus that you're giving to them by actually giving them first, and that's why we do them. That's why we do them first. The Mishnah went on and said, "Kolecha be'echa noto v'nosim b'rosho amar avada." This is all parenthetical. I'm not sure why. But it is. But anyway, it continues. V'chol echad ve'echad notav anosav roshu. Everybody put it on their own heads. Now remember, the Mishnah said that when it comes to the Rosh Nasi and the Rosh Abezdin, we put it on them. But when it comes to everybody else, we put it on ourselves. So the Gemara says, "Baroshu." Nasi va'av bezdin nami nishkalu inhu v'ninchu b'roshayhu. Why doesn't the Nasi and the Av Bezdin put it on their own heads? Maishna de shakel inish achrina umanich luhu. Why are they different in that we have to have somebody else delegated to put the Efer Mikla on their heads? Why? Why don't we say just like the individuals are putting it on their own heads, so therefore the Av Bezdin and the Nasi would do the same thing. Why not? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, Demin Kesari. Rabbi Abba says, from Kesari, he says, Eino Doma Mizbayish Me'atmo LeMizbayish Me'achirim. You cannot compare somebody who is Mizbayish by himself to somebody who is Mizbayish from somebody else. In other words, what we're trying to do is we're trying to instill the gravity of the matter onto the Rosh Av Bezdin and the Nasi, so that they should be humbled and they should feel down, so that they are requesting rachmim for the entire people. And in order to do that, you want to be mizbayish them in a way, and so we have somebody else put it on their foreheads, which is more of a busha. Why is that more of a busha? Maybe because it's making things more public. Publicizing the matter, or maybe it's because just the very point of putting the Efer Mikla on their foreheads by somebody else is an embarrassing thing. At any rate, that's the point. The point is to get them to a state where they feel so low and they feel so badly that they want to request rachmim for everybody. The Gemara finishes, Vehecha manich lehu, and where do we put this Efer Mikla? Where on their heads does it go? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak v'makom tefillin. It goes in the place where the tefillin is put. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Lasum le'evele tzion, to put on the mourners of Tzion, Lasleis lehem pe'er, to put for them pe'er, which is a reference to tefillin, pe'ercha chavushalecha, to put them, the tefillin on, tachas efer. You say efer and pe'er are two different, are the inverse of the words, but anyway, pe'er tachas efer. So wherever the efer goes, the pe'er goes, and vice versa. We know the pe'er goes right here, the tefillin goes up here, the upper forehead, so that's where you put the efer as well. And in Mirza Hashem, we will be putting the pe'er tachas efer, we'll putting the tefillin instead
of... My Masada Kedushin put the
efer. What?
On my forehead.
Yeah?
Did you do it at your wedding? Did someone...
I think so.
So you put long leaf. And I was embarrassed. I was happy he did it. I didn't want to do it myself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know.
So I don't know
if you want
to I had my entire confusion with it, but he was kind of embarrassed because he thought my parents and my in-laws would see us being weird.
All right.